The legalization of same-sex marriage in New York State in a marathon session of the legislature this past Friday night has been described by its supporters as a major milestone, but as legal definitions of marriage expand, they force us to consider broader cultural ideas like what constitutes a family. We're joined now by Brian Powell, a professor of sociology at Indiana University and the lead author of a timely new book called Counted Out, Same-Sex Relations and Americans' Definitions of Family. It's published by the Russell Sage Foundation. I'm pleased to welcome Professor Powell to our show today. Hello.
Thank you for inviting me.
Do you feel the legalization of gay marriage in New York last week is going to have a social or political ripple effect across the country? Or is this one of those things that is limited to one of the more liberal states?
On the short term, I think the effects are going to be probably going to be more regional. I think there's going to be a very strong spillover effect in beyond New York and also within New York. In New York, what's going to happen, I believe, is that even those people who are opposed to same-sex marriage, after a while, they're going to get used to the idea of same-sex marriage. This is not unlike what's happened with people's views about interracial marriage years ago. People were very much opposed to interracial marriage. It switched after interracial marriage was legalized.
But isn't there a difference here in that many of the opponents are opposed on religious grounds?
But that was precisely one of the reasons it was given before. If you go back, for example, to court cases regarding interracial marriage, you can find many cases in which judges ruled that interracial marriage should be illegal because it went against the will of God.
Well, don't national public opinion polls trend in favor of legalization of gay marriage?
Yeah, the change.
Is this because of demographics? Younger people are more likely to see it differently than their parents and grandparents?
I think there are two things going on here. The first thing is the demographic difference is really huge. There's a huge age difference going on today. If everyone or if a larger percentage of people under the age of 30 actually voted, there would be no real debate going on about same-sex marriage. But there's another thing that's going on as well, and that is even older people are changing their views on it. What we find within our data and what we've seen within other data as well conducted in surveys by other people is that the increase in support for same-sex marriage and the simply broader views regarding definitions of family are expanding. This is increasing among all age groups.
You conducted two surveys on what the concept of family meant to most people in 2003 and then again in 2006. Was there a major shift in those 3 years?
There was a shockingly large shift. And we also conducted a survey in 2010, which is not covered in the book, and there was another shift there. We asked a very simple set of questions. We asked which living arrangements count as family and which living arrangements do not count as family. So is a married husband and wife with children a family? Almost everyone says yes. The interesting—
Almost everyone?
Almost everyone.
There
almost,
are people who say no?
Amazing. Not in 2003 and 2006, a few people did. We also asked the question, what about a married man and woman? About 8 to 10% of the people say, if you don't have a child, you're just not a family. The interesting change and the most important change are changes regarding people's views about same-sex couples and unmarried heterosexual couples with and without children. And there has been a real shift going on, even in a 3-year window from 2003 to 2006.
Is there a difference if we're talking about gay couples or lesbian couples?
We didn't find much of a difference. We were really surprised by that.
And what happens when they do have children? Because there's another debate going on whether gay couples should even single gays should be allowed to adopt children.
The question about children is one that we really thought a great deal about, because for many people, when we think about family, we think about children. And what we found is that although many Americans are uncertain about whether or not same-sex couples should have children, if there is a child there, they want that child to have the rights and benefits that you would find in other living arrangements as well.
My guest is Brian Powell, the lead author of a book called Count It Out, Same-Sex Relations and America's Definition of Family, which is a volume in the American Sociological Association's Rose Series in Sociology, published by Russell Sage Foundation. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Does it matter that same-sex marriage became a right in New York through the legislature, not through the courts?
Much of the change that has occurred historically in terms of marital rules, marital rights, have come through the court system. So the fact that there's a change legislatively as well is really a remarkable change. And it's suggesting that there's a multi-prong approach to really expanding the rights to same-sex couples.
Well, on the national level, I would say pretty much every Republican in Congress would be opposed, but that wasn't the case here on the state level.
Actually, I think even within Congress, you would find that there's some congressmen who or congresswomen who are in fact would be supportive of same-sex marriage. It's not a large number, but in certain areas, probably in swing districts, not unlike what we saw in your state Senate.
You're not making a pun when you say swing districts. New York does not have a system that would allow a ballot measure similar to Prop 8 in California, but aren't some opponents putting the matter up for a statewide vote of some sort? They say the public should have a say in this.
Well, here's the question I would have about that. Well, first thing I should just note is if we want to go by public opinion, right now the public opinion is pretty strong within New York State. If there were a referendum and if people really did vote, we would not see any change from what actually happened this past weekend.
But I would say public opinion was pretty strong in favor in California.
Actually, it wasn't. There was a very small percentage on that. And the distinction there is who voted. Again, one thing you've got to remember, as we talked about, is there's a huge age difference in terms of support for same-sex marriage. And we also know there's a huge age difference in terms of who votes. So what we have in effect is when we think about the will of the people, it's not entirely clear that elections necessarily speak to the will of the people. There are many people who don't vote, and for thinking about that, representatives have to go beyond simply what goes on within elections. The other thing I should note is, do we really believe that public opinion is the only basis for whether or not we provide rights? And going back to the simple question about interracial marriage, when interracial marriage was found unconstitutional, there were many states in which public opinion was vehemently opposed to interracial marriage.
But you didn't have the Catholic Church opposed to interracial marriage.
There were many churches that were opposed.
Now, in an article in the New York Times this weekend about how Governor Cuomo got the gay marriage bill through the legislature, the paper pointed out that there was not much of an organized opposition to the measure. Did that surprise you?
That's a good question. It did surprise me to some degree.
There was a conservative party where the head of the conservative party said that any Republican who voted for the measure would not get the support of the conservative party. But and then there were some churches and there were some individuals, but it wasn't the kind of campaign that we've seen with invented grassroots groups and the like that we've seen in California, for example.
I think one of the reasons for that is the role of some wealthy libertarian Republicans in supporting same-sex marriage in New York. And I think this provides a very useful strategy for other states as well.
Does this also move the focus to the national level, or are you suggesting that this may represent a tipping point for other states?
There are two issues going on. One is, what is each state going to do? I think one thing we have to realize, and it's sometimes difficult for my friends in New York to realize this, I come from Indiana, and that is, New York is not just the center of the world. And in other parts of the country, people's reactions could be different. For example,
But Indiana has been moving toward the right.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. So I think we have to realize that there's going to be change towards same-sex marriage, and then there's also going to be considerable pushback. One of the big issues is going to be what happens if you are legally married in one state and you move to another state. That's going to be the real big issue. And I think that is going to be the issue that's going to ultimately go to courts.
And divorce also will complicate things. Is it likely that the Defense of Marriage Act will be overturned in the courts or rescinded by Congress?
Well, Massachusetts is offering a very strong challenge to DOMA right now, and so far has been pretty successful up through a couple of levels. I'm not a legal scholar, so I'm not going to make a prediction on that, but certainly there's going to be a very strong attempt on the part of states that do have same-sex marriage to basically make the argument that the determination of whether or not you can get married is a state issue. The federal government may provide rights for people who are married or not, but who is married is determined by the state.
Ted Olson, who was George W. Bush's Solicitor General, is now one of the lead attorneys in a case seeking to overturn Proposition 8 in California, and who spoke rather movingly on this show about that, wrote in Newsweek last year, quote, "Marriage requires thinking beyond one's own needs. It transforms two individuals into a union based on shared aspirations, and in doing so, establishes a formal investment in the well-being of society. The fact that individuals who happen to be gay want to share in this vital social institution is evidence that conservative ideals enjoy widespread acceptance. Conservatives should celebrate this rather than lament it." So why do you think more conservatives haven't embraced gay marriage? I mean, you're a sociologist and talk to conservatives. Okay. Well, what did they tell you?
Well, the biggest issue is religion. That is the big – I think there are two factors. Religion is number one, and what Martha Nussbaum, as a professor of Chicago, has referred to as the ick factor, the idea that sex that same-sex marriage is about sex as opposed to it's about love and commitment.
But marriage is a conservative concept, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And when you look at gay marriage being legal in other countries, Portugal, Argentina, Spain – it's legal in Mexico City, although I don't think it's legal in the rest of Mexico. But we're talking about places with overwhelming Catholic majorities.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference with Cardinal Dolan here and the cardinals in those countries?
The power of religious groups in the United States can be very strong. But we also see that there have been changes going on in certain states. But I think the issue for many people is they keep on thinking that marriage is a religious institution. People sometimes forget that to get married, you don't need to go to a church or a synagogue. And what we found, one thing we found in our interviews is when we ask a question about whether people prefer gay marriage, civil unions, or neither of those two, there's a large number of people who say that they're opposed to marriage, but they're in favor of civil unions. But then if you ask them, what do you define civil unions to be? It turns out that the biggest mistake actually that people make when they talk about civil unions is that civil unions are getting married at the justice of the peace. So there are all these people out there who say they're opposed to same-sex marriage and favor civil unions, but actually they are in favor of same-sex marriage.
But there seems to be confusion all over the world. We recently had Ava Gabrielsen on the show. She was Stieg Larsson's partner for life for 30 years, and she has been denied the rights of a wife in Sweden. We think of Sweden as one of the most liberal countries in the world. So even there, their rules begin with having a child.
Yeah. In Europe, we actually conducted the same survey in Germany. And the big differentiation between the United States and Germany is children. So in Germany, if you are married – if you're a man and woman and you are married and you don't have a child, you're less likely to be considered a family than a gay couple with children.
My guest is Brian Powell, the James H. Rudy Professor of Sociology at Indiana University and the lead author with Catherine Balsendahl, Claudia Geist, and Lala Carr Steelman of a book called Counted Out, Same-Sex Relations and Americans' Definition of Family, published by the Russell Sage Foundation. We'll continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Brian Powell, who is the James H. Rudy Professor of Sociology at Indiana University and the lead author of a book called Counted Out, Same-Sex Relations and America's Definition of Family, published by the Russell Sage Foundation. Are people who know gays and lesbians more likely to support gay marriage, or people who have gay family members?
Absolutely.
So Dick Cheney, who might otherwise have been opposed because his daughter is a lesbian, would be feel differently? Not Newt Gingrich, his sister's a lesbian.
Well, you know, when, as sociologists, we talk about patterns. We don't talk about every single individual. And we also, there also may well be, we don't know what's in the minds of everybody and their hearts of everybody. So we don't know what's in the minds and hearts of, let's say, Newt Gingrich. He may actually believe that his sister should have the rights of marriage, but just won't be able to say it given his political position. But one thing that's very clear from our interviews is that if you have a close friend, if you have a friend or a relative who is gay or lesbian, you're more likely to have a much more open view regarding families.
Now, and for a long time, people saw it as a life choice. Are attitudes about whether homosexuality is genetic or whether it caused by some other factor changing?
Yeah, that's one of the another big change besides the contact. Because one thing we found about contact is that there's an increased number of people who know they have a gay friend or relative. We don't think all of a sudden they got new gay friends and relatives, but rather people were more open about it. Regarding the idea of the causes of sexuality, we did ask the question, and we asked the question in 2003 and 2006 and 2010. We simply said, do you think that sexual – and we used the term sexual preference so that we wouldn't even bias people in the direction of saying it's orientation. Is it due to parenting? Is it due to environment? Is it due to genes? Is it due to God's will? And what we found is that there was a large number of people, even in 2003, who said it was genes or genetic inheritance, and it keeps on going up. The other interesting thing, though, we found is that there was a large number, a large enough number of people who said that this is God's will instead. And what we found, in effect, was that people who said it's sexuality is God's will, due to God's will, or sexuality is due to genetics, those are the people who are really open and inclusive in their definitions of family.
Are there regional differences? It seems to me Northeast is much more open to these ideas than some other parts of the country.
If we look at the Northeast and if we look at the West Coast, we see the areas where people are, have the most inclusive or open definitions of family. If we go to the Deep South, this is the area where you find the largest opposition.
What about educational levels?
The educational level differences are also huge. The higher the levels of education, the more open people are in their views regarding definitions of family.
Is there a difference between how people define family for themselves and how they define it for a society?
Well, what we find is people's definitions of family about themselves are pretty idiosyncratic. Many people, for example, talk about their pets. One of my favorite quotes was this woman who, when she was defining her family, she says, well, it's my dog, my cat. And then she paused. She says, oh, and my husband. And so
you think she was making a joke?
No, I don't think she was. I mean, if you listen to the you can tell a lot by the tone of what people talked about. Pets were a theme that many people talked about regarding their own families. And
well, you shouldn't have talked to my wife about that. No. I'd like to play an ad from 2008. It's from the Yes on 8 campaign. Let's take a listen.
Mom, guess what I learned in school today?
What, sweetie?
I learned how a prince married a prince, and I can marry a princess.
Think it can happen? It's already happened. When Massachusetts legalized gay marriage, schools began teaching second graders that boys can marry boys. The courts ruled parents had no right to object.
Under California law, public schools instruct kids about marriage. Teaching children about gay marriage will happen here unless we pass Proposition 8. Yes on 8.
That leads to another aspect of opposition to gay marriage, or I guess to homosexuality in general, the idea that gays and lesbians indoctrinate and recruit young people.
The idea of indoctrination is something that's just not held, it's not supported in the literature. You know, that quote that you just have, my reaction is thinking about the other one. And I can imagine a different campaign in which a child who does have two gay parents comes home, say, this is what I heard in school today. I heard that we're immoral. I heard that we're not authentic. Well, they won't use the word authentic. We're not real. You know, I think we have to realize there are many children who are living in same-sex living arrangements, and they're being told that they don't have a real family.
Well, how can gay rights advocates fight a message like that?
I think they can fight. They can fight this. I think by making the point that they are families.
Well, but the much of the pro-prop 8 advertisements use terminology about protecting families.
And I think the mistake in California was, if I were running the campaign in California, I would have kept on showing cases of two women and their children, two men and their children, grandparents, two men and their children. And I think when I think about the campaigns kept on talking about equal rights and discrimination. And it seemed to me that they should have taken control of the term family and said, we are family too.
Because there are some people who have fought for equal rights within their communities who feel that that homosexuality is not the same thing as racial discrimination, for example.
Yeah. The debate on race versus sexuality is a really tricky one. And I know many, many people say there is not a parallel. But I look at it historically, and I look at what people said about interracial marriage. And what people said about interracial marriage in the 1940s, the 1950s, and 1960s, virtually identical to what people were saying today about same-sex marriage. They're saying it's ungodly. It's saying the children are hurt. You know, it's saying that it's going to destroy the institution of marriage. The arguments are given are exactly the same. In addition, the people who are most opposed to same-sex marriage are the same people who are opposed to interracial marriage, people with lower levels of education, the religiously orthodox, people in the South.
Well, how does this play out in racial terms? Did you find that attitudes on what a family are were different among different racial groups?
Well, what we found was that African Americans actually had a pretty open definition of family. They're more likely actually to talk about what's known as the idea of fictive kin, that is, people who you're not related to, but they're still Uncle Charlie. They help out. But at the same time, that didn't necessarily translate into their views about same-sex marriage.
We often hear that the family is in decline or that it's being destroyed by corrosive elements in our culture. Does any of the evidence you've been able to work on support those things?
Not at all. You have to ask the question, what do we mean by the family? If we're saying the family is husband, wife, children, and the husband is, quote, the head of the household, then yes, it's on decline. If we define a family, though, in terms of what families really do, take care of people, love people, provide home and shelter and support, then American families are as strong as ever.
But when someone uses the phrase family values, isn't he talking about a very specific kind of family and very specific set of values?
When you use the term family values, and if we're talking about, if the question is who should take ownership of that concept. You know, when I think of families, and when the people we interview talk about families, more than anything else, the people focused on the idea of really acting like a family.
But the idea of the nuclear family is something that really got pushed hard after World War II, where mom was told to go back home and forget about working in the workplace, and dad was going to be the traditional wage earner. That's something that has pretty much disappeared from America, hasn't it?
And I guess the question people would have to ask is that such a bad thing?
But we still have the feeling that that's the right way. And mom goes to work because she has no choice or because she's selfish or all sorts of other reasons.
I think many other people would make the different argument today. There's a wonderful book by professor at NYU, Kathleen Gerson, that talks specifically about how younger men and women today are increasingly appreciating the important role work plays for both women and men.
Well, how far can we go with this? Can roommates who don't have any kind of romantic relationship, can they be called family?
Not according to our interviews. We found that we asked the question about roommates, and we found that a very small percentage, less than 10%, said they counted as families. The irony to this, however, was that we thought that the people who would be most likely to say that housemates count as families would be younger people. And we found exactly the opposite. We found people over the age of 65 were more likely than any other age group to say the housemates counts as families. We refer to this as the Golden Girls effect, named after the TV show.
Do we know if definitions of family have shifted throughout human history?
Definitions of who is allowed to get married certainly has shifted through time. I mean, we think about this, and if we think about the debate about same-sex marriage today, it is, using Obama's favorite term these days, an evolving view.
Well, he was raised by a single mother, mm-hmm. and President Clinton was raised by a single mother as well. Are single mothers as stigmatized in 2011 as they were 20 years ago?
Single mother, single parents face the challenge of not having as many resources in terms of time, in terms of money, as two-parent households. But there's certainly, in terms of our interviews, we found that Americans are very likely, are willing to say that a single mother will count as a single mother and a child, and a single father, a child counts as families. Although a surprising number of people said, I will give her the benefit of the doubt and assume that her husband died.
Now, earlier this morning, one of the commenters on our show page left this message. Same-sex marriage is a creation of the state and a hostile takeover of social life by the government.
Marriage is a creation of the state. Marriage is a legal contract. Marriage is authorized by the state. So he's correct. He or she is correct. It is a product of the state, just as all marriages.
Although this person sees it as an imposition, at least same-sex marriage as an imposition by the state on people who are opposed.
Well,
how important is top-down leadership in changing opinions, the bully pulpit?
Popular opinion can shape political views. You know, seriously, in New York State, the legislature would not have voted for same-sex marriage if there weren't a press by at least a significant number of people who are supportive. At the same time, though, legislation can have impact on popular opinion. So it goes both ways.
Well, David Paterson was a supporter of same-sex marriage, and he promised that legislation would be passed when he was in the governor's mansion, but it didn't happen. It happened with Andrew Cuomo. Was Cuomo a more effective advocate for it?
I think there are two things. First thing is public opinion keeps on changing, and it's changing a lot, even a really, really short period of time. Where people were a couple of years ago versus where they are right now, there's been a really big change. So I think that's one part. And I think the other part simply is, you know, I have a great deal of respect for Paterson's push for same-sex marriage. He just may not have been as effective in effecting change.
Well, he also was in a very vulnerable position for all sorts of other reasons. Is that the same for President Obama, who right now is in a kind of defensive position? Is that the reason he can't come out in favor of gay marriage, as many of his supporters and opponents believe is his position?
Well, I'm not a political strategist, but it does seem to me that what he is saying publicly is right on target where the average American is. So there may be many factors why he's not presenting. It may well be this is where his position is, or it may be that right now he is targeting, you know, basically where America really is.
When did sociologists first start to study the family? Is this something that is of 20th century interest?
People have been interested. Social scientists have been interested in a family basically since there was sociology. People, you know, if we go back, while, you know, people talked about the role of family and providing some sense of self, some type of, you know, integration, some sense of identity.
Brian Powell is the lead author, along with Catherine Bolzendahl, Claudia Geist, and Lala Carr Steelman, of a book called Counted Out: Same-Sex Relations and Americans' Definition of Family, published by the Russell Sage Foundation. He is a professor of sociology at Indiana University. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Leonard.